So show us the Father. I'll read the scripture. This was Philip speaking to Jesus at one point. Thomas, they were all saying things to Jesus about showing them who he was, who the Father was. John 14, verse 9, Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I still believe that this is the question we are to ask Jesus, because he is the one that shows us the Father. But his answer was so interesting, because asking that question of Jesus, "Show us the Father," gets three results. First thing Jesus does is show us himself. He says, "Hey, you want to see the Father? Hey, well, look here." That's the first result. He shows us himself. But whenever, and this is what I learned from this scripture, whenever Jesus shows us himself, it is always in the context of his relationship with his Father. He's not a loner. So when he shows us himself, he's saying, "You want to see the Father? Well, here, you've seen me. But remember, when you see me, I'm going to show you the Father, because I'm the only one that can reveal him to you." No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's the first result. We see Jesus first, then he shows us the Father from his point of view, which is what we have to know. Then what the Father does, this is result three, he shows us ourselves. He shows us as and who we are being formed into, because the Father is forming us. He is our Father. Like Father, like Son. So Jesus is saying, if you see me, you've got to see me in the context of I'm like my Father. And when I show you the Father, he's going to show you, well, just as when I looked at Jesus, my Son, I see myself, he's saying, it's going to be the same for you. So I'm going to show you who you really are, just as Jesus knew just who he was in me. You're going to know who you are in me, as a dad, as my child, to be like his dad, like her dad. That's how we become who we're meant to be. Let's look at the scripture for that, the next scripture, John 1, verse 11. He came to his own, this is Jesus, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, the ones that embraced him, took a hold of him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That word right, sometimes used power, the word is sometimes power. It does not mean the kind of power that you get when the Holy Spirit comes. That's dunamis, power, power. This word is exousia. This is the authority It also means the liberty and the freedom. So whoever receives Jesus, to them he gives the freedom to become the sons and daughters of the Father. So we can be free to be who we are truly meant to be, as sons and daughters of our real Father. So to them he gave the freedom to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So that's the freedom of becoming truly formed in who you are meant to be. But note, we as human beings also have the freedom to be formed into whatever we might imagine we would like to be. That's a problem. Whatever we behold, whatever we see as being what we would like to be, begins to shape us and form us into some kind of likeness of that. So let's just keep that in our minds. That's why we want Jesus to show us the Father, so we can see who we should be being formed into as the real us. Let me just say this now, but by the way, when he does show us who we really are, he's not going to show us some stranger. Oh, who's this? I don't recognize. You'll know it's you, all right. It'll be the real you that feels so good and free about being you and loved and having mercy poured upon you for your shortcomings, but you start to discover the freedom of actually being able to be you. And have a laugh about the things about you that you think, wow, that needs a bit of a tweak. Oh, yeah. And it's not just judging too many other people. Because, you see, this is a work in progress. But you have the freedom to become that. John 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that is the only one of his kind, is what it means. The only genus, the only new creation that there was on the earth. And even, put it this way, even before he became the new creation on the earth, the only true Son of God in eternity before there was an earth, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, who is there in the heart of the Father, he has declared him. He makes him known. Jesus only makes the Father known. Like Father, like Son. Like Father, like us. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Putting that in one sentence, we are made alive to God by the Spirit. We are made one with God by Jesus. He is the one that joins us by becoming us. As humanity, and making us one of him in the very being of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We share the being of the Lord God. Alive to God by the Spirit, made one with God by Jesus, and formed in God by the Father. The Father has an active role. So, Jesus has always been the Son, the eternal Son. He came to earth as the Son of the Father, and he will always be the Son of the Father. They're not going to swap places. He will always be the Son. And in him, we will always be the sons and daughters of the Father. That was his plan. I want a family of sons and daughters. So we're part of it with our brother, Jesus. That's the plan. Jesus had the freedom to be formed perfectly into who he was in harmony with his Father. What a life Jesus had. Suffering, contention against him, filled with the love of his Father, full of the Holy Spirit, in harmony with his Father, and therefore being formed perfectly into who he was as the man, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. So how's he going to get that to happen for us? As he prayed with the disciples, our Father, together. He had to take all of humanity upon himself, from Adam, with the sum total of all our human perfection, so that he could give us the same freedom that he had to become who he was meant to be in the earth. That's a big work, isn't it? What a mission. What a ministry that the Father has to form his kids. In fact, that's what parents have got the mission to do. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. Some of you might recognise that scripture. That was the motto of Northern Beaches Christian School when we started. I don't know if it still is, but that was it. And that word grew, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favour with God. That word grew is a military word, and it's also a blacksmith's word. It means blow by blow, winning blow by blow, being formed blow by blow. The blacksmith would form things by procopto, by putting it in the fire, waiting for it to be just the right heat, whacking it with a hammer. It's nearly there, back in the fire, out again, whack, 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 yep, that's looking good, bit of water on that, back in the fire, whack, 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 that's growing in wisdom and stature and favour with God. That was no easy thing. That's what life does to people. But if we know that the Father is forming us in all the things that happen, we can have trust that he's going to get the right outcome in us. That's what I want us to look at today. The work is going on. Show us the Father. And he says, and then I'll show you in my Son, the one who is free to be who you are. And okay with that. So Jesus did all of this so that when he sent his Spirit to be received by us, we could also have that freedom to walk with Jesus, to live in accord and agreement with our Father, and become our true selves. Holy Spirit will always be making us aware of our need for Jesus to be our prayer intercessor and saviour. We talked about that last week. Jesus is our prayer. But Jesus will always be making us aware of our need to be formed as mature sons and daughters by the Father. This becomes more meaningful to us than having our needs met. That doesn't mean that Jesus, as our prayer intercessor and saviour, is not always living to make intercession for us for our needs to be met. That's not saying that. That's what Jesus ever lives to do. That's what he wants to do. But hang on. If he's our prayer intercessor and he's praying, who's he praying to? Not himself. He's praying to the Father. So the Father ends up meeting the needs. And Jesus quotes him and says, don't be anxious like people who are in unbelief. Your Father knows you have need of these things. So he's always in the context of it's the Father, the Father, the Father. But Jesus says, I want to be meeting your needs. I want to be taking away the fear, the anxiety, the distress, the heartache. Jesus is saying that. He's there. I want to be resolving the situations. I'm your wisdom. I want all of that to be being made clear. I'm wanting to help you. But you know what? Jesus is also saying, but I don't want your life's purpose to be just with your needs list, getting your needs fixed. I want more for you than just getting needs met. I will always be there to rescue you, to rescue you, to rescue you, to bring you back. But I want you to be formed into who you are meant to be. Here, on the earth, as close as we can get you. That's when you will live the life that you are destined to live on this earth. Yes, you'll still have needs, but I want you to be the person you are meant to be. I want you to think about that. And what I'm saying today is, can we just think about our Heavenly Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and our lives and all of the stuff that we've got going on in our lives and recognise that, yes, the Lord Jesus wants to meet those needs, but can we recognise there's something else going on that he would like to do? And all I'm asking him is, will you please give that some consideration and thought, that there is something kind of a little bit above just getting needs met. It is becoming the mature son and daughter of the Father that pleases his heart. And he can say, well done. That's what a good dad wants. A good dad and a good mum, they'll be there helping the kids, helping the kids. How's life? Oh, helping the kids. Oh, good. How are the kids going? Well, we're there for them. That's fine. That's it. There comes a time when you think, wow, golly, they're breaking through. They're making it. Wow. Father says, I think it's working. I think the real person that I created, that I was part of, bringing into this world is becoming who they are meant to be. The parents will never stop helping. I'm wanting to see this from God's point of view. I'm not just talking about human parenting now. We'll have a look at that in a sec. Jesus, the complete Son, is and always was the Son, and says to us, hey, saying to you and me today, Jesus, hey, get on board with me in this, will you please? Brothers and sisters, would you like to share in my sonship and become what the Father wants us to be, like he wanted me to do? This is Jesus saying it. Now we can say, look, we're too busy, we've got too much trouble, too much problems going on. And Jesus is saying, it's okay, you don't have to be perfect. Will you just give some thought to the fact that in all the things that are happening, he's forming you in your character and in your response and in your trust and in your faith to become the person that you have the freedom to say, okay, here I am, Lord. And we're not going to perfect that in this life. But it's not a bad idea to have it in mind that that's something that God's wanting, isn't it? In fact, when I look at me, I think of Dad looking at me, I kind of hear him saying this, I'll let you be you. You know what I mean? You don't even know who's saying to me, you don't really know who that really is yet. But I'll let you be the you that I created. Even with the warts and all. Now, this is no kind of excuse for me to go, he won't say this to somebody who's saying, I want to do everything my way. He's saying this to somebody who says, I want what you want, Lord. And he says, well, okay, I'll let you be you. So don't start living your whole life feeling bad about who you are. When I see something in you that I'm shaping and forming, don't get this image, well, I'm too unworthy to ever be anything. No, 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 you're in my son Jesus. I'll let you be you. But will you, if I do that, will you let me be me? Will you let me be God? It only works if you let me be in charge. Because I know what's good for you. And that way you have a new kind of freedom. So, well, I can be the imperfect me, but you know my heart, I want to be the one you want. God says, that's good. Now, you watch what I unfold to you. Look. We can ask a lot of questions. You've got to ask the right questions in life to get the right feedback, to know where you're going. Now, if we say to Jesus, show us the Father, and that, because that is the right question, you'll get the right feedback. And Jesus will show, and the Father will show you who you are. You can't say, well, I don't like that. Whatever we invest in or invite feedback off in life, I want to know about this one, starts to shape us and form us. Google does that. I had a situation, an infant with eczema, and presented in the pharmacy, and it was weeks before we could get this thing sorted out. There was my input, there was a doctor's input, there was a special skin specialist input. The answer, strangely enough, ended up being no medications, but just some very, very bland cleansing cream that fixed the thing up, which boggled everybody. But I invested in that. I got to Google, and I uncovered and researched everything about infant eczema. And Google jolly well profiled me. And showed me this person called Paul, who was some kind of skin specialist that was obsessed with infant eczema. And I'm thinking, Paul, I'm going to get off this. I had ads, I had creams, I had referrals, I had, and special things from the Pharmacy Journal would come. And I'm thinking, my goodness. He would say, you asked the question, this is who you are. And then, no, I'm not. I just had a question. I'll tell you what, Google can profile you and you get to thinking, this is who I am. This is what I want. And people come into the shop telling me about a disease in fear and anxiety that Dr. Google told them they have, and they haven't got it at all. Pastor Google has a lot to say too. But when we ask God, show me, you know what he'll do? He doesn't let Google show you. God will let life answer your question. And everything around you that happens, God says, hey, you ask, look at that. Oh, I didn't realize. This is my reaction to that. Well, this is my response. God has ordained life for you to show you and feed back to you, because you've asked him the question, his little demonstration of who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it in a situation. And that's our learning. And that's the place where we're being trained and formed by God in a loving way, but where our antenna is up now. So how accurate? But he'll show us, he'll let life show us who we are in relation to him, not just in our opinions, in relation to him and his loving fatherless, fatherness. So how accurate is our idea of what a father is like? What do we know about fathers? Well, we only know about fathers because of our fathers. What's our idea of our Father God? What is Jesus' idea of our Father? That's what we've got to get to know. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who trained us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, or for a few years, for a few periods of time, trained us as seemed best to them. But he does it for our advantage. So probably there's a lot of untraining to be done, but some retraining to be done. As is best for him, for us. And he will arrange life to show us that he's there in the midst of what's happening. So everything that goes on, this is what I'm preaching this today for. I want you to somewhere in your mind, rather than just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for getting me out of this. Thank you for giving me wisdom. Thank you for giving me an answer to this problem. I just want you to think, Father, you're showing me something here, you're forming me. I don't know what it is, but let him do it. All I'm saying is ask the question. I don't know how the answer's going to come. It does. So what does our training involve from God? It simply involves the reordering of our lives. If you've got a good dad and you're getting things wrong, a good dad will say, you got it out of order. My girl or my boy, we've got to reorder that. Here's the training for it. Reordering our lives. Because we can be unconsciously trying too hard to do what we shouldn't even have to do, or to be who we shouldn't even have to be. Lord says, I'm going to reorder that. Our Father's training sets us a higher goal than just having our needs met. They're happening. So why is there disorder? Why is there disorder in your life and my life and in this world? Because we live in a disordered world. Our world is invaded by fearful, greedy, envious, violent, careless people. All right, that's the world. Just got to look at the news. And the temptation is to become harmful like that, because that shapes you, or that can, instead of becoming loving like him. If we invest in and invite feedback from the attitudes of the world, because we want to beat the world at what it's got, then that will shape us. Psalm 115 verse 8 says, they that make idols of silver and gold, they made them of wood, they made all sorts of things, but people today don't make idols like that in our Western culture, but they make themselves by imaginations or things or images, which is the same word, idols, images. They make images, and the whole world is making images of other people or of certain lifestyles and say, I'm investing in that, and then you become like it. It says in Psalm 115, these idols have mouths but they don't speak, they have ears but they don't hear. They that make them become like them. So the investment gives you the feedback and you say, well, that's who I am. And that God says, that's not who you're meant to be. I got something for you. If we focus on what God is doing, I want you to think now what's happening in your situation. The thing you're saying to Jesus, Lord, give me wisdom. Pray for me, intercede for me in this situation. For a moment, I want you to be able to move sideways from there, thinking of that and thinking, okay, I know what I'm doing, and I know the stuff that's happening, but just lock into, but God, what are you doing? What are you doing? God says, I'm glad you asked that question. Because I'm looking after you, I'm forming you, I'm protecting you, I'm shaping you. Just look over the page, will you? There's a list of scriptures about the Father. There's plenty of pages like this. I only did one. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I'm leaving the world again, going to the Father. Luke 12:30. Do not be anxious. Your Father knows that you need these things. Seek the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. John 14:23, my Father and I will come and make our home with you. John 6:38, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but my Father who sent me. So think in the situation, I know what I'm doing, but what are you doing? And remember that God is doing something far and a far greater level of your care, of caring for you, of providing for you, of teaching you how to live, that he's there with you to comfort you in it. I'm not saying try and imagine it. Just say that is happening in the world of the unseen and allow that to be a reality to you, and then let God do the rest. Let him then, as we heard this morning in the prophetic word, unveil our eyes, that we will see what he's doing, because he's doing things. Okay, what are the consequences of harmfulness? What if you do just what the world does and get in? Simple, harmfulness causes suffering. There's a lot of unnecessary suffering in the world. You do harm to others, you do harm to yourself, you end up with suffering. Disordered minds, disordered priorities. Another question, why can't the Father do something about stopping those harmful people from causing suffering? I would like to know, why doesn't God stop the harmful people from doing harmful things? He's God. I've only got one answer, I'm sorry. He says, I am doing something by forming you into the real you. It doesn't mean there's just one less person causing harm. He says, you become part of the answer to this world's suffering, even in your suffering, because you're living in a higher realm of inquiry and of seeking what you need to know. Jesus, show us the Father, and the Father will show you that he's given you the kingdom, that you have a place of authority, that you are with him, and he's always with you, and he's comforting you, and he's providing, even in your suffering. Next question. What does Father feel about our suffering? Is he cold to it? What do you think about Jesus' suffering? Father is saddened by his child's suffering. It saddens him. He doesn't want to see that. He doesn't want it to happen, but it does. He knows it does because he knows that people can choose that. He's saddened by the suffering, but he can comfort us in it. And he can teach us that. He is more saddened by his child separating from him than by the suffering. Like, oh, surely he's interested in the suffering first. You know what he's interested in? He's interested in having you so close to his bosom that he knows that no matter what comes, you're safe in him. That's a dad. If it was your child and they were suffering somewhere, you could be saying, oh, if only we could alleviate the suffering. Wouldn't the parent want to say, oh, if only I could have them with me now, we could sit, we could work this through, I could be there. It's the separation that the Father doesn't want, because we cannot be comforted when we're separated. But you can when you're close. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me near. Bring me to my knees. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle. And I will soar with you. Your spirit sets me free in the power of your love. That's our Father. He wants the best for you. So I'll leave you with a question again. I haven't answered all the questions, by the way. I've just asked more today. But I just want you to know that it's worth asking, because you'll get your answer. Thank you, Lord, for showing us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the Father. Thank you, Father, for showing us who we can be in the midst of everything and having you with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us close. In Jesus' name, amen.